Hey, what is going on, everyone? It's me, Mr. Mario, and welcome back to another episode of Mod Chat. For those who do not know, this is a podcast I do here in two different forms. First of all, it is available in a video visual form here on the Mr. Mario 2011 YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey channels. It's also available as a podcast in audio-only form, so you can take it around and listen to it like an actual podcast for the hell you want to. Simply look up Mod Chat, all one word, on your favorite podcasting app, host, provider, or platform, and you should hopefully be able to find it. I know it's not available on all of them, but it is available on most of them. Either way, Mod Chat is where I come on. I talk to you all for about at least once a month, and we talk about things that I find cool, interesting, sometimes funny in the world of modding, video game content modding, all of that fun stuff. Now, I don't typically say this is a news show, but some people do use this as their source of news, and if you do, hey, awesome. Glad I can be of service to that. But either way, we have some pretty cool stuff that's going to be happening this month, including some long-awaited things for the PlayStation 4, so I'm sure this is going to be some old news, but as I said, this is not a news show, and we're still waiting for a few other things to happen, at least at the time of recording, so without further ado, let's go ahead and just jump right into the topics here and see what we have to cover.
For our first release here, we're looking at Hawk, which doesn't explain all too much right from the name, but this is from Risey119, who has done some really awesome projects for the original Xbox, such as the Open Xenium, which is one of the best mod chips out there, which is a reverse engineered and open source version of the Xenium mod chips. However, this here is Hawk, which is an open source Xbox Live communicator. For those who do not know, you needed to have a communicator which fit into the memory unit slot on your original Xbox controller, and then you would plug in a headset to that so you can hear people and you can use voice chat and such with them. However, not only those are old and they're a little limited with the 2.5mm jack on there, but if we can make it better, why not? So this here is, as it says, an open source replacement for the Microsoft Xbox Live Communicator using modern components and custom open source firmware. It provides feature parity with the original communicator with the following differences. A 3.5mm TRRS jack is used to support more generic headsets, but states that stereo headsets will output as mono. And the volume wheel is replaced with a button. The volume is indicated by LED brightness, which we can see right over here. So that's cool to see. It looks like on the right or on the back of this, there is a guide which shows, you know, what you can do here. So if you press the button, just like press it in real quick, you are able to change the volume. If you hold it for 1 second, you can mute it. If you hold it for 2 seconds, you can increase the gain on your microphone. And if you hold it for 8 seconds, you end up resetting the settings on here. For usage, it does state that when installing Hawk into your controller, it must be installed in the slot closest to you. So I would say that it's slot one. Of course, then the extra usage here. So hold the button for 1 second to mute and disable the microphone. Hold button for 2 seconds to enter microphone gain adjustment mode. And of course, those adjustments will be saved internally, but you can reset them. So really just what I went over right there, which that's pretty nice. Not even really a need for redundancy here. I just really like that it's pretty self-explanatory right there. But if you need it more fleshed out, you have this available here. Do keep in mind if you're going to be ordering this as a PCB, it needs to be 1.2 millimeters of thickness. He also has information here on compiling and programming, and also a FAQ here. So if you're interested in the pinout for the headphone jack, you have it here. If you run into issues such as not fitting it into your controller slot, you might have produced it too thick. If you're being told your microphone is really quiet, there are some troubleshooting steps here and some settings you can change. However, he even says if this is still too quiet, you can modify the max microphone gain variable and recompile the code to bump it up even higher. Either way, this is really cool to see here and a completely unexpected release. And if we come over to releases, you can come over here. And if you want to flash the firmware to this, you have a firmware.elf that you can flash this to. And it looks like here, if you want to come to the actual source and get this fabricated, I believe you can come to KitSpace. And here you have the bill of materials, you have the Gerbers, everything else here that you would need. And of course, a PCB render, which it looks just like that. Either way, really awesome project to see here, and I'm sure many people who are playing on Insignia will have some fun with this. Because that's also a question that people might be asking, why would this be made for the original Xbox? Well, Insignia is a thing. Insignia does support VoIP, and while as you can track down one of those old communicators, you could also get one of these newer ones here and experience, hopefully, a nicer experience, I would say. Something updated for 2024. Now, things have been really heating up in the jailbreaking scene for the PlayStation 4, which I'm sure most people are interested in this section here, so I'm primarily going to be covering this for the rest of the episode. However, this is from Andy Nguyen, otherwise known as The Flow, who has been responsible for many different jailbreaks and modifications for not just the PSP, but the PlayStation Vita, and of course the PlayStation 4. We now have something that is working up to firmware 11.0. And this here is called PPPwn. I'm not being immature there, that's quite literally what it is, and it's called that because it is a play on PPPoE, because that is the entry point that it uses. But this here is not only a entry point, but this is also a kernel exploit as well too, meaning that everything can be tied together to create a jailbreak. And the cool thing is, this does not rely on WebKit at all. This is a different type of attack method here. This is not WebKit based, this is not BDJB, it doesn't have anything to do with the USB ports either. I know for 9.00, for example, the main entry point was using a WebKit exploit, but then you also had to have a specially formatted USB drive to insert and remove at a certain time due to the XFAT bug that it utilized. However, this here is over the Ethernet controller on this. He did release this video here demonstrating it, so it's only a minute. Let's go ahead and check it out. Now, just breaking it down, he's got his laptop right here. Looks like it's running Linux, or actually it's a Linux VM, but still, it's running it there. He moves this over to his PlayStation 4, where you go to the Test Internet Connection section. Now, right here, he has this all set up, where he has a Stage 1 bin and Stage 2 bin, that is supposed to be sent over to the PlayStation 4 over this network interface right here, and it is specific for firmware 11.00 or 11.0. So it's going through this whole process here, and we'll let it wait. Still going through it. It's going to take a little bit of time here. All right, stage one, memory corruption. Gotta wait a little bit more. And here we go, waiting for that, got the responses. Stage 2, Castler defect, so it was able to do that. Stage 3, remote code execution, which that is exactly what this is for here. And we're almost done. So as it goes through the rest of that, he should move this back over to the PlayStation 4. And once that's done, you get one of these errors which says cannot connect to network, but then you get another one here that states PPPwned, which is showing that it does have kernel level access at this point, so we were able to get successful remote code execution, which is what all this was for. He even has it over here. You can see the target MAC address, all the other information here, stage 4 arbitrary payload execution. So that is sent after stage 3, which was the remote code execution. So that's really awesome to see overall. So just looking at this here, kind of as it plays out again, I am going to be curious to see the future landscape on this, because I have a feeling most people will be on firmware 11.0, because that firmware will not only be the newest one, but that's just going to be the one people will jump to when they see this jailbreak. However, do keep in mind that if you are on a firmware higher than 9.0 and you're going to be using this, this is going to completely negate the need for using WebKit. So I wonder if there's just going to be a massive decrease in web hosts and such that are out there. Because as you can see right here, this is not over WebKit, and this cannot be done over WebKit from what I'm seeing. Now, he does have this available on GitHub as a open source project, and it is called PPPwn PlayStation 4 PPPoE RCE. It states here that this is a kernel remote code execution exploit for the PlayStation 4 up to firmware 11.00. This is a proof of concept exploit for CVE-2006-4304 that was reported responsibly to PlayStation. Supported firmwares are, and these are a lot of them here, so really I'm not going to name off every single one, but it seems like this is compatible all the way from firmware 7.50 all the way up to 11. So if you're one of those people where you don't want to update, for example, maybe you're on firmware 9.00 and you already have a system that is jailbroken, you can use this as an alternative entry point. If you're on a firmware such as 8.52 or 9.04, and for whatever reason, you cannot update because let's say you have a broken Blu-ray drive, for example, and that's preventing you from updating, and that is a very real issue out there, As long as you have Stage 1 and Stage 2 payloads that are compatible on your specific firmware version, you can use this as an entry point and be able to modify and jailbreak your system. It does even state here the exploit only prints ppwned on your PlayStation 4 as a proof of concept. In order to launch Mira or similar homebrew enablers, the Stage2.bin payload needs to be adapted. Now do keep in mind here, this is the original release that has not been touched from what I'm seeing here, so it does state for the requirements you are going to need a computer with an Ethernet port, although a USB adapter also works. You're going to need an Ethernet cable, and for this iteration here, you will need Python 3, GCC, and you are going to need Linux, so you can either run that bare metal on your computer, or you can use a VM. But we're going to be talking about that later. I do also want to note as well too that from all of this here, if you have a computer with an Ethernet port and an Ethernet cable on your PlayStation 4, I am wondering here, it looks like if it's going to be that strict, then you're probably going to have to be hardwired on your PlayStation 4, as in you won't be able to do this over Wi-Fi, since this is, you know, PPPoE, and that does rely on Ethernet right there. Now, he did also link this to HackerOne, which got a nice bounty of $12,500 right here. But the summary is saying a malicious PPPoE server can cause denial of service or potentially remote code execution in kernel context on the PlayStation 4 / PlayStation 5. In two spots, there is a heap buffer overwrite and overread, and he also states for some reason the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 is vulnerable to this older CVE. By having invalid options, it is possible to create a heap buffer overwrite and overread. And the funny thing is, looking at this CVE right here, we can check this out, and this is not a new exploit by any means. You can look at it even in the tile itself, but this is actually utilizing an exploit that was found in 2006. So this was found and disclosed in 2006, which is really funny to see it now be used in 2024 for a console that was released in 2013, has had countless patch updates applied to it, but still you're able to bring this over. Now there's been several updates to this, but just pulling from the latest one here in regards to this, it seems like there's been a lot of firmware ports and a lot of payloads for this new exploit. However, people are still waiting on Gold Hen, which this is not the only homebrew enabler, but it is the main homebrew enabler that everyone seems to use just because it has, well, pretty much everything that people would be interested in. So following this Wololo article, they state here that following 8.50 compatibility added a couple days ago, ppwned is now compatible with firmwares 7.50, 7.51, 7.55, 8.0, 8.01, 8.03, 8.50, 8.52 have been added thanks to Alazif, Chameleon, and Echo Stretch. Older firmwares are being added in particular for people who are stuck on specific older firmwares due to the infamous no BD problem, so that they can eventually upgrade out of their misery. I also haven't credited other devs who have been committing changes to the ppwned GitHub. In particular, Matt HC submitted a change that could improve reliability of the exploit, and Rafael Romeo, who added 10.50, 10.70, 10.71, and 9.50, 9.60 support a few days ago. I apologize for any other people I might have missed during this crazy week for the PS4 scene. The scene is still, of course, eagerly waiting for a Hen solution, the closest we have to a custom firmware on the PlayStation 4. Gold Hen has been making some progress and is being tested by a few trusted folks. Earlier today, Michael Crump shared a video showcasing Gold Hen running on 11.00. Again, this is not released at the time of publishing this article, but it seems the release is right around the corner. Now, discussing older firmware support and why it is important here, they're stating that this relies on a surprisingly old public vulnerability in one of the FreeBSD network drivers. The vulnerability was apparently never patched for PlayStation 4 or incorrectly brought back at some point, which that has happened before. Details on how the vulnerability impacts the PS4 in particular can be found on HackerOne. PPwned is confirmed to work up to 11.00, with existing implementations for firmware 7.50 up to 11.00 included. Now, people on 9.00 or below can still enjoy the previous jailbreak, which is PubS4. Some folks are stuck on a given firmware and cannot upgrade their consoles due to the no BD issue. And there's a quote here saying, "Your PS4 is said to be no BD if its Blu-ray drive is missing or has been damaged. If you have such a no BD console, you probably already know or will soon discover that you cannot update your PS4 firmware anymore. This is annoying for multiple reasons, if only for the fact that there is no legit technical reason for this limitation on the PS4 firmware. You could still technically use the PS4 for a lot of other things, including digital game downloads, but the PlayStation gods have decided otherwise. It is up to the community to fix this mess and make it technically possible to update your firmware to the latest and greatest. By bypassing a few checks during installation of the firmware, these techniques are typically referred to as NoBD updaters, and it's stated that adding a kernel exploit for lower firmwares, including 8.50, gives users additional ways to eventually upgrade their console if they need to. This is just one of the benefits of porting a given exploit to multiple firmwares. And we see something right here, which is a NoBD updater. The goal of this was it was supposed to work on systems that were jailbreakable on 6.72 and 7.55, and then you run this and you're able to then update your system to 9.00. Now it states here that in its current implementation, PPPwn is a full jailbreak for the PS4 11.00 and below, but a lot of existing tools for the scene still need to be adapted to run on a firmware 11. In particular, the scene is eagerly waiting for custom firmwares such as Goldhen or Mira. Progress on this front is still ongoing. Now, in regards to payloads for this, it states in parallel to the firmware ports, Lightning Mods has been publishing a growing list of payloads compatible with firmware 11.00 on the PPPwn exploit. It states here, and I believe this is from Lightning Mods, that Stage 2 has been updated for support for debug settings on firmware 10.00. Some patches have also been disabled by default, but can be re-enabled via the extra patches flag. Now, the payloads here we have are the PS4 module dumper, which it states needs Stage 2 compiled with the module dumper flag set to 1, decrypts and dumps all the system files to the USB connected. So this would really be to decrypt and dump your installed firmware. You have an update blocker here, which this one is important. It blocks updates by manually creating the required files in /update, then forcefully unmounts it. And then you have the PUP decryptor. Decrypts the outer layer of the PUP at mount USB0 safe.ps4update.pup. The decrypted PUPs will be saved to the USB root with the suffix .dec. To use them, simply rename them to payload.bin and put them on your USB. So this is a big one here because I've had multiple people ask me in regards to update blocker, hey, what do I do? And just so you know, this is not like the PS3 where you can be on the latest and greatest firmware and you'll probably be okay. Jailbreaks for the PlayStation 4 are typically released only on older, outdated firmwares. So that means that if you accidentally update your system to the latest and greatest firmware, you will lose your jailbreak. So to this, when people have asked me, hey, what do I do? I've jailbroken my PS4 or I want to jailbreak my PS4. How do I prevent this from happening? The thing I tell them is the first thing you should do is jailbreak your PS4 using something such as Mira or Goldhen. The second thing you should do is run an update blocker. And after you run the update blocker, you can have all the fun you want to after that. Then in the future, if you ever want to update the firmware, you'll have to run an update enabler payload and then run your firmware update. For here though, it does state if you want to use any of these, you just have to replace the stage2.bin with whichever payload loader you are using. To install and run those, you basically install PPPwn following the instructions over here, replace stage2.bin with the payload loader from Lightning Mods as he's released one, download any of the payloads you want to run, rename it as payload.bin, and put it on the root of your USB drive. And you want to have a USB key inserted in your PS4 when you run the exploit. So that's an interesting one right there in regards to how this is working. You not only need your computer or a device which can be capable of pushing this exploit, but you're also going to need the payloads on your USB drive, which is going to be inserted in the PS4. Now, because of that here, many people were immediately asking, is there another way to run this? Do I have to be in Linux? Is there an easier way to do it? And I'm not going to cover just one. I'm not going to cover two. I'm actually going to be highlighting and covering three alternative methods here, which these are not the jailbreaks themselves. These are really just clients which allow you to end up doing this here. But one of the first ones I saw, I think the first one I saw was PPPwn Go, which is a Windows-based application you can run where you can easily select the Ethernet controller that you're going to be utilizing. You can then select the firmware your system is on, and then you can select the payload you want to push, and then you're able to push that to your PlayStation 4. Now for PPPwn Go, it states here the supported versions are that 11.00 supports the installation of packages and will soon support the injection of Goldhen. Again, we're just waiting on a public release. 10.00 and 10.01 support installation of packages. 9.00, you can inject Gold Hen, and then all the other firmwares here, it's yet to be determined on this. For this, you need at least Windows 7 on here, and they do state, just demo, don't have too high expectations, the current overall success rate is not high. The success rates vary between different versions. Please wait patiently. The nice thing is, too, that ppwn has a Python script for this. However, they even say if this script is ever updated in the future, for example, if stability is increased in this, there's no need to update the executable. You just directly overwrite the Python files for ppwn and offsets for this application. The second one here is ppwn loader, which is pretty similar, and it states here this is a Windows front-end desktop program based on ppwn that aims to reduce the environmental dependencies needed to run it and implement a one-click RCE in the simplest way possible. It seems like for this here, you'll need a Windows computer, your network cable, and a PlayStation 4 running firmware anywhere from 7.50 all the way up to 11.0. You'll then again run the executable on here, use the Ethernet port you're using to connect to the PlayStation 4, select your PlayStation 4's current system firmware version, and then select the Stage 2 file. So for the Stage 2 file, for example, you could pop in the payload loader, or you could load up Gold Hen, whatever you want to on there, as long as it's been compiled for your specific firmware. And this one has some screenshots here. It looks a little something like this, where as you can see, you run the application, you have the stage2.bin that you are pointing towards, and when it's ready to run the exploit, you just click on start, and it should in theory do that. For this in the settings, of course, you pick your interface you're using, you pick the firmware that you are on, and then once you click this, it just goes through these stages. If you have to retry it, you can, and also shows the debug text right here. And we're shown a third one right here, which is Easy ppwn Bin Loader. This is the same thing, essentially, except you can see right here it's kind of all in one screen. So as you can see, you have to feed it the ppwn.python file as well as the offsets.python file. So the nice thing is, if these are ever updated, you can just drop in your own, or if you want to modify them yourselves, you can do that. You can select your network interface, select the firmware for your PlayStation, then put in your Stage 1 and Stage 2 payloads right there. From what I've seen with all this, Stage 1 is going to be the kernel exploit itself, and Stage 2 is going to be the main payload you're trying to run. Again, whether that be an update blocker, a payload loader, Gold Hen, Mira, whatever you want to do is going to be Stage 2. Just like the previous one, it states that ppwn is a kernel remote code execution exploit for the PS4 up to firmware 11. This is a proof of concept exploit for this CVE that was reported responsible to PlayStation. It shows the supported versions here, which at the time of recording this, the lowest one is 8.00. So this has definitely been exciting to see overall. And some people who are watching and listening to this might be wondering, okay, what do I do now at this point? Well, I will say this, if you have a low firmware PlayStation 4 that you are interested in jailbreaking, check and make sure that it is on firmware 11 or lower. If your firmware is somewhere higher than 11 and you're wanting a jailbreak in the future, you might be waiting several years again for this, but if you're wanting that console jailbroken, I'd recommend taking it offline now and waiting. If you are on one of these firmware versions, for example, if you're on a lower one, some people might be wondering, should I just update to a higher firmware? I guess I'll say this, if you're on a firmware lower than 9.00, at this point it's been several years, and quite honestly, the firmware 9.00 exploit with PUBG S4 is incredibly stable, and it's a really good jailbreak. So if you have, for example, 8.52 and you update to 9.00, I personally don't see an issue with that. However, if you're on 9.03, 9.04, or something else, I'd recommend just staying where you're at and waiting. Not only will we see where the landscape is with different firmwares, but more importantly, since this is still a proof of concept, from what I'm reading and seeing, people have said so far that the success rate here is kind of low right now. So you might have to try many, many, many times and keep getting kernel panics where you have to restart your PS4 and such, which is why having something really stable, such as the 9.00 PUBG S4 jailbreak, is really nice. That's all to say too, this one should be self-explanatory, but if you're on firmware 9.00 and you want to update to 11 because you're excited, I would recommend just kind of waiting on that as well too. Again, even I myself, I'd really only update to firmware 11 once this has been more stable and once there's more development on this, which I have no doubt that we're going to see. But overall, really awesome to see this overall. Several years after this, because I want to say it's been over 2 years since we had the 9.00 jailbreak. I believe that ended up releasing December 2021. And yeah, it's been about 2.5 years later, and we have something on newer firmwares. For our last topic here, I usually like to cover something in regards to the modding scene, which is funny, interesting, cool, maybe a combination of all of them, but something in regards to modding, whether it is directly or indirectly related to it. Well, here, this is in regards to Persona 5 Royal, a fantastic game that I got to finish up last year. But in it, at one point, when you're kind of getting your money up and everything, you end up getting a game console and a TV in your room. Well, you can if you choose to buy them, and you can play some video games to boost your stats and such in game. Now, there's something with Doom where when it comes to reverse engineering and modifying, usually the goal is to get Doom running on everything. And well, now you can run Doom in Persona 5 Royal. So checking out this GBA article from Stephen Malone or Stephen Malone, they state here that Doom is well known for being ported to basically every device with some kind of input, and that list now includes the old retro game console in Persona 5 Royal. Modders King Jack Skellington and Zan1242 released the Doom Sona mod today that lets you buy the shareware version of the original Doom at the secondhand store in Yongin Jaya. Doom is fully playable and, like the other games Joker can play in his room, will grant the player a social stat upgrade when they're finished, in this case his guts will increase, and prompt commentary from Morgana before and after playing. This mod includes the WAD file for the shareware version of Doom, as well as for Free Doom and Chex Quest, a promotional video game released by General Mills in the 90s based on Ultimate Doom. Upon completing the shareware Doom, which only comes with the first episode, the player can purchase a full copy of Ultimate Doom from the same store. However, since this game is still being sold commercially, the WAD file isn't included with the mod, and the player must provide their own. Doom Sona also supports any PWAD that is compatible with Chocolate Doom, a source port of the original Doom that aims for historical accuracy and adherence to the experience of playing Doom as it originally released. So let's just check out this video right here. We have this come up, all right, he's going through everything here. Let's check this out. He went to the game shop. Okay, this is cool. There's like text, whoa, I've heard of this game before, as Morgana says. It was a huge hit back in the 90s and practically defined the genre of first-person shooters. So Joker's buying it. Hey, let's head back to the room and try it out for ourselves. Okay. So he's going to leave. And let's go. So now when you're in your room, you can access playing video game. Let's play a game. Doom shareware right there. And there we go. Credit to King Jack and Zan1242 for modding this into Persona 5 Royal. This is a shareware version, so only the first episode's unlocked. And you can see it right there. You can see the cartridge, the Doom cartridge. Let's close out this. The Doom cartridge right there. Doom, of course, is on the screen. Welcome to the shareware version of Doom. Enjoy the first episode, Knee Deep in the Dead. All right, so there's the first prompt. Second one, complete this shareware and you will have the opportunity to buy the full version at the recycle shop. Doom.wad must first be in the Doom Sona directory. And let's see a third one here. Key bindings can be edited via chocolate-doom-setup.executable in the Doom Sona directory. So really cool how that all goes in. And then here you quite literally just have the game boot into Doom where you can do all this, change all these features. And check this out. I mean, this is just the original, like the very beginning that's playing here, but that's Doom, the demo, I should say. Then right here, it's playable. That is Doom. So the player's going to go through this episode here. Are you sure you want to quit the game? Yes. So they're going to quit it. And then it looks like here at the end, hey, you actually managed to play the game normally. Good one. So there's that. I really enjoyed this game. I bet killing all those imps and demons increased your guts. Is there anything else Morgana's going to say? That's awesome. All right, you get your stat bonus there. Point up. Awesome. And I guess that's it. Well, it's getting late. Let's head to sleep soon, okay? And that's all there is. That's awesome. We can even check out the Game Banana page right here for the actual mod itself. And it looks like here you have everything right from this. It is working on Persona 5 Royal, the PC version. So if you're wanting to play this on a modified PlayStation 4 or a PS3 or a, well, not PS3 because they didn't have Royal, but if you want to play this on Switch, I guess we're just going to have to see if this gets ported to other platforms, but looking at this here, this does allow you to play Doom Shareware, Doom 1, Ultimate Doom, Doom 2 Hell on Earth, Free Doom Phase 1, Free Doom Phase 2, and Chex Quest, which I just like how that is running on the same engine and such, but I like how it's just like you have all these hellish games and then just the innocent one right there. Overall, this is one of the coolest mods I've seen in a while, and I just love this here because not only they integrate it into the game, but you can quite literally play this game in the game, which all the other games that you can play in Persona 5 or Persona 5 Royal are not like that. You're really just kind of talking through them, you select some options, but you don't actually get, like, you know, hands on the keyboard and mouse like you do on here, which is really cool to see.
Anyways, that is about it for this episode of Mod Chat. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope it helped out. I hope it was entertaining. And if it was any of those things, a like would absolutely be appreciated. If you didn't like it, a dislike is fine as well too. But I always like to do this at the end of these episodes here. I like to pick a keyword or a key phrase. And if you made it to the end of this episode and you've used that keyword or key phrase in a comment on the video upload, I know that you've made it to the end. Typically, I do kind of grab something off my desk here. So, you know, this is the charger I use for my Fitbit for a while. I didn't use them here. Not this, but I was using some that was, but was not a Fitbit. But how about this? How about charger? What type of chargers do you use? Do you like that USB-C is a standard? Do you think everything should be charging properly through USB-C? Do you like those barrel jack chargers? Let me know what kind of chargers you like, dislike, which ones you might use, and I'll know that you've made it to the end of this episode. Either way, as I said earlier, if you enjoyed this episode, a like would absolutely be appreciated. If you didn't like it, a dislike is fine as well too. But as I always say, this is Mr. Mario, signing off. Thank you all for listening and watching, everyone. And until next time.